I'm going to guess that most of us have heard Jesus say something like, in order to gain your life, you got to lose your life, or take up your cross and follow me. That isn't new information to us, right? All right, so I want to use that as the foundation for the statement I'm going to say is, I believe that following Christ, being a Christ follower, means that we have to be like Christ, life-giving. So it says, give up your life, gain a different kind of life. If you will lose your life, you'll gain a different kind of life. And maybe we've not spent a lot of time unpacking that, but I think that's worthy of some great conversations. What does that mean for us? I think part of what it means off the top is that it means that we are called as Christ followers to self-sacrifice so that others can live more abundantly. Does that seem fair? Are you in agreement with that first take? So, I want you to think about how someone else, not you, has sacrificed a bit for themselves so that somebody else had a better life. It's easier for you to think of it for somebody else. We see those kind of things in others. So tell me, how have you seen somebody in reality, flesh and blood, sacrifice something of theirs so that somebody else would have a better life? All right, and there's lots of ways to unpack that. She said, my mother. All right, I didn't ask you who, I said how. How has she sacrificed in a way that gave life more abundantly to someone else? And I want you to hear this. I mean, one of the ways that we give life to another is women give life to babies. Okay? So, did you hear that? There's lots of self-sacrifice that goes into parenting. Did any of you see self-sacrifice in the life of your father? I need bigger yeses or nos. Okay? Anything in particular? Anything that really stands out for you? Did a job he hated for years to provide for us. He went into the service. All right. Somebody else, somebody big, heroic, that's done something that sacrificed themselves to give life to others. Caregivers for cancer. And I'm going to add to that Alzheimer's and some of those. Okay. Organ donors. Blood donors. Did you know that the person who invented the process of separating blood and plasma was an African-American man, and he died because the hospital he went to wouldn't give him a blood transfusion? Giving blood. What else? Teaching. Sometimes it's a great calling, and sometimes watch teachers live their life. Nowadays, every teacher is investing all kinds of money into their classroom. Luckily, we have agencies and groups around here that are donating to teachers to help support them in their classroom. But for a lot of years, the husband of a teacher and great friend of teachers, contributing to those kind of things so the classroom has what it needs in order for there to be true education. Missionaries who go to other countries. Volunteers at our boutique. Foster parents. Swimming upstream. Swimming upstream against the norm of thinking. Of course. What were we thinking? You want to unpack that a little? Okay, thank you. All right, give me a name of somebody who lived their life in a way that everybody would know who this person is. Mother Teresa. Did everybody just say Mother Teresa? All right. Martin Luther King. Albert Schweitzer. Maya Angelou. Rosa Parks. If you go to the Holy Land, one of the traditions there, you don't put flowers on a grave in the Holy Land because, one, you can't find flowers. So their tradition is to put stones every time you go and you to add a memorial to your family or somebody's, the impact of somebody has made in your life, they take a stone and they put it on the tomb. And most of the tombs are kind of like in New Orleans, they're above ground. Okay? There's one tomb in Israel of a non-Israeli, non-Jewish person who you can't see his tomb anymore because the rocks have taken over the tomb. Oscar Schindler. Now, he didn't die because of his things. We know him. He gave life. There were four of the folks that were on a little boat in Houston, Texas this week that was riding to go back and do another recovery run, and their boat, a metal boat, hit a downed power line. And so it threw everybody out of the boat. There were some survivors and some witnesses, but four gentlemen, all who only spoke Spanish and whose surnames were all Spanish, all of them perished. And some days there's a good reminder that in the midst of crisis, humans are humans. I also read on Facebook somebody saying they're not going to give money to Texas Relief because they voted a different way than they did. All right, we got to move past some of this, folks. How do we do life-giving? Some of it is as easy as donating blood. Some of it is somebody's hungry and we feed them. Sometimes it's, there are simple ways that we can give life. And probably, all right, so let's say that somebody found out that somebody else was homeless as a senior in high school and they decided they were going to let them stay in the house until the end of the year. Life-giving? And I think the year was 1980, but it may have been just in the 80s. It goes back a long way, and I start to lose track. There was a Air Florida flight that fell out of the sky into the Potomac River. Some of us are old enough to remember that. I just caught you. And there was a man who was in the water. There were five folks in the water, and this man kept giving the line from the helicopter to the next person, until finally the camera came back to an empty piece of sea and somebody who had made sure somebody else had a lifeline two or three times. There are some simple ways we offer life, and there are some very, very heroic ways we give life. I think the key is, what ways am I messing up life and what ways am I giving life? We sometimes get caught worrying about what stones to throw, not what stones to put on the grave to remember those folks who have had great impact. What do we do, looking forward, to be more like Jesus? Love your neighbor. It comes down to as simple as that. And why do I love my neighbor? Because I love God, and God loves me. It starts with God loving me. Then I respond to love God back, and then God says something like, you can't just say that in theory. You got to do something about it. So here's a good way to do it. Everybody else, love them. It'll prove you love me. And sometimes we do it heroically, and other times it's just simple, I need a hug because today I feel broken. There are people in the world who just at just the right moment delivered just the right words of encouragement, and everything changed, and we went from utter despair to a whole new life. Trajectory changed. Let's add a life. Let's be like Jesus add layers of life. I have lots more examples, but that's probably enough for you to get the point. I think when it says, take up your cross and follow me, that we've got to remember that Jesus wasn't saying, come to church. That's good enough. Didn't say, go shopping. Did not say, follow me and let's crucify other people. No. Jesus gives Jesus' self away. Give control of your life to God. In your dance with God, let God lead. Let me paraphrase what I think this scripture lesson tells us. If you desire to be mine, Jesus says, then give up your self-centered agenda and take up the agenda that I have purposed for you and follow the path I will show you. And the divine purpose of my life and death will show you. Walk this way. No problem, right? It's easy to feel like we got a chance to do exactly what Jesus calls us to do. No, that's about the hardest thing we do in our life. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Aim to be like Jesus. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Do what I do. Walk after me. Does not mean focus on yourself and just being good. Does not mean take up the sword and follow me. Does not say focus on money and retirement and after that we'll take care of this Jesus stuff. And just for good measure, let's remind ourselves that Jesus just got done saying, I'm going to give the keys of the world to you on you and who you are. I'm going to base the whole church, Peter. And the next thing out of Peter's mouth is, yes, but Jesus, don't die. Which undermines Jesus' whole plan, right? Don't die. And Jesus goes, back of the line. Jesus starts the church with a guy who the next thing out of his mouth gets it wrong. And look where we've come. You don't have to save the world. You just have to do your part. Your part is to deny your selfish thoughts and try to live a bigger life, the life that God has dreamed for you. Frederick Buechner says, only a life given away for love's sake is a life worth living. Sometimes it's just the right words of encouragement that give life. Sometimes it's an anonymous gift of blood. Sometimes it's a few bucks at the checkout line. Sometimes we're given organs. Be life-giving. Take your life, connect it to God and God's dream and God's design, and it will become a different kind of life. In Scripture, the phrase is a life of the ages. A life worth living. A life somebody won't forget. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, sometimes we feel like we have to be heroic and we have to save the world, and yet you have bound us together in a way that make us as a church and Christ followers different than just a good group in humanity. We have your purpose. Help us, Lord, to follow your path, to take up the cross that you have designed for us, to offer our sacrifice in union with your sacrifice so that the world changes, so that we change, the people around us change, and the whole world shifts toward the kingdom of God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.